through your pass.
Hey, Nancy. No running in the hallway.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the 1984 classic, A Nightmare on Elm Street. But before we do that, let me go around and say hello to my buddies here. We got Rob Flacco here. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on? I am glad to be here. I've had to change up my podcasting snacks. You know, I'm still doing this stupid diet. It's ridiculous. And all this walking and everything. So normally I would bring up like 48 beers. But instead I have a cup of sugar-free Crystal Light and a banana. Mm-hmm. It's like ruining my reputation. It's terrible. I don't want people to know I'm drinking sugar-free Crystal Light instead of just pretend like it's a mixed drink in here.
I had a hard-boiled egg and then a handful of candy corn before I came up here.
Are we not ridiculously old?
Oh, my God.
We're terrible.
We're just like, what am I doing?
I did have I had pizza for dinner. And there was a place when I was in high school, this place called Ken's Pizza, which was kind of a local chain. And they went out of business when I was in high school. They went out of business. And they've been out of business all this time, and they've just opened some up like within the last 2 or 3 months. So we drove about 20 miles to go to a Ken's Pizza tonight, and I'm using this stupid fitness app thing. So I had a sandwich and an apple for lunch. So I figured up all my numbers. I was like, okay, I can have 3 slices of pizza and some water. But it helps, though. It helps to know those numbers. But it's you know what? I did have some beer, Mr. Sean.
Last weekend
at the Motley Crue Alice Cooper concert.
Woo!
Oh my gosh, that was awesome. And I did not, you know what? I'm 41 years old. I almost forgot how old I was. And let me tell you, I was like middle of the demographic. I mean, there were lots of kids there younger than me, but there was a lot of ladies there, a little older than me, with the hair spiked up and the leather pants that probably fit last time Motley Crue was on concert. And it was awesome. It was an awesome show, dude. Alice Cooper, I looked it up. Alice Cooper is 66 years old.
Yeah.
And he gets up there. I mean, he's singing this song near the end. My wife's like, I don't know what this song is, you know? And then she sticks her, I mean, Alice Cooper's like singing, and then he sticks his head in a guillotine and it cuts his head off. And then people pick it up, and he's, you know, later on he like gets electrocuted, and this giant monster comes out and is singing. I'm like, who cares what song it is? Like, you don't need to know what song this is. It's just awesome. Don't worry about it. It's Alice Cooper. Then Motley Crue came out. They sang every good old song and everything. It was awesome, dude. It made me feel like I was in high school.
That's good, man. I'm glad you had a good time.
Could have been the beer. Yeah. Might not have been Motley Crue. It might have been the no. You know what? In high school, I could not have afforded $12 beers. So,
oh man,
that's ridiculous. You know what? I thought about this is Motley Crue's last concert. They are not their last concert, but this is their last tour. This is their farewell tour. They've promised. They've swore to everybody. They signed a contract. That's all big PR thing. That they are not ever going to tour again. This is their last tour. So I thought, you know what? Normally I don't, if it's a big band, I don't buy a t-shirt at the show. But I thought, you know what? Last tour, I might go buy one. Do you know how much a t-shirt is at a modern show today?
Bitty?
I was going to say probably $50 to $65, especially for them.
The baby, like, what do they call them? The baby tees?
A onesie?
Like the tight ones, you know?
Onesies.
Right. Which I thought I could stretch that out to save $5 or whatever. I might try it. Those are $45. Short sleeve shirts are $55. Long sleeve shirts are $80.
Good God.
Oh, my God.
$80. Do you know everybody in Motley Crue has a Lamborghini? They don't need $80 shirts. It's ridiculous. Jeez. You know what I did? I got a $2 Sharpie, and I wrote Motley Crue on my arm.
There you go.
Sure there was some guy out in the parking lot selling T-shirts, too, for like $10.
You know what? I love like when I go on Facebook and there'll be two updates next to each other and one will say like, where's the best pizza place in town? And then the next response will be, I just had the most amazing pizza or whatever. I'm like, those two people should hook up. You know, it's like one has information that the other one wants. And we're walking into the concert and there's people on each side of the street and people on the left are saying, we've got great tickets for sale. And the guy on the right is yelling, who has tickets? And I thought, just go across the street. Those guys over there have tickets. Like, I don't understand why they don't see each other, you know? I don't feel like I need to get these people together. Like, they should be able to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, that's everywhere.
Yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, you know what? It was a good show. It was and this is a sign that I'm 40, that I'm old, not that the other thing would be that I was like, "Oh man, I'm kind of jealous. Sean had hard-boiled eggs. That sounds good." But towards the end of the concert, there's like so many explosions and I'm like, "This is too loud, sir." Mr. Motley Crue, we need to tone this down or you're going to hurt someone's hearing. And it's too loud and too much fire. I don't know. This is safe. And like half the people are yelling and I'm just like, I don't know. And then we decided that I might be too old at that point. You know, what do they say? Like, if it's too loud, you're too old. Yeah. I think I'm too old.
This could have been this could have been Rob's farewell concert.
It might be. I should be selling t-shirts. $80. I won't be back. So anyway, all good right, times.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah,
it's good stuff. What about you, Zerb? What's going on, man? What's new with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was playing piano when you guys were. Hey, I got married 10 years ago tonight.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Today,
happy anniversary!
And what better way to spend your 10th anniversary than hanging out with two dudes?
I did. I told her I was giving her a kiss, and I said, "Are you sure this is okay?" And she goes, "No, you go ahead." And then went into that room over there, and the door slammed really hard. So she said to say hi.
That's what they always say. They always say, "If you think you want to," and then you go, "I do." And then it turns out they were being sarcastic.
You know, I feel bad because I know you guys went out last night for dinner.
That's
and everything.
Right.
And then today I saw it was your anniversary. And I'm like, oh, man, you should have said something.
No.
We could have totally rescheduled.
That's why. We did last night. The reason we went out for our anniversary was because I took her to our local diner. And
because you're being selfish and you wanted to record a podcast.
And no, that's not the reason at all. The person who, there's a gentleman that works there. His name's Rob. He's a good friend of mine. And, he wore a tie and a suit shirt, really dressed himself up nice. And, I went over there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to set up the diner table with a nice tablecloth. And I put candles on there and a whole bunch of, I picked up Jose Cuervo cinnamon. Because we drink Jose Cuervo every anniversary we take a shot of Jose Cuervo. Now they got the cinnamon out, so that was delicious. And then my buddy Rob pretended to be like the most expensive restaurant waiter ever met.
Oh, that's fun.
It was great, and it was in our favorite diner, so dinner, of course, was, you know, it came out to $30. And, but it felt like we had a $300 meal because we were just pampered by everybody. It was beautiful. And we were dressed up in our Sunday's best, and we looked nice. We had a good time.
Afterwards, he took her to go see Nightmare on Elm Street.
And then we saw Nightmare on Elm Street after that.
Honey, I mean, wear those knives to bed when you come.
You know,
happy birthday, honey. Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary.
Mm-hmm. So it was nice. So 10 years with my best friend and everything else that comes with it. And I hope we get at least another 50. Which would
oh
be
my
wonderful.
God, I cannot let Nicole hear this podcast episode.
Right.
And Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. I'm doing awesome, man. I've been busy, busy building my wife a studio,
yeah,
art
dude,
studio.
You got a lot of work you're doing on the house.
I was going to ask you, when was the last time you slept?
It's, I don't get much sleep, but it's my own fault. I mean, I'm just, I, even when I'm not doing anything, I stay up way too late and get up way too early.
Sean, whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Stay awake, brother. Right.
I'm your podcasting pal now.
What's the studio that you're building?
Well, it's for, you know, she's an artist, MealyMonsterland.com. So our old house, she was in the basement, and it was just...
Your wife or the studio?
My wife's studio was just but her studio was in the basement of the old house, but it was just like dingy and everything was like all right there. So this new house, it has a couple different rooms. So she has her own space and it's real nice. So
beautiful.
She's happy.
That's awesome, man. You know what? A happy wife makes for happy Sean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta keep him happy.
All right, so Zurb, why don't you start us off? We'll get into this movie. You can give us our movie cast.
Surely. And if you can help me along with the throwback appearances that these people have been in before, that would be good. And going down the list, I honestly don't think there are many.
I don't think there are any.
I don't think so.
But we're going to start with Mr. John Saxon, who played Lieutenant Donald Thompson in the movie. Famous for Falcon Crest and TV. He played Tony Cumson from 1982 until 1988. He was in The New Nightmare, playing John Saxon again, in 1994.
Oh, and yeah, I added there at the bottom, I added to your notes there, he was in Black Christmas, 1974. And the only reason I know that is because I've been watching a new Halloween movie. Every day I'm going through Halloween movies for October, and reviewing them and going through them alphabetically. And anyway, it just struck out because I just saw this, and in this movie, he's a cop. He's a lieutenant that's investigating a murder. So it was like almost the exact same role. So I just thought that was funny.
He has a cop face.
He does.
So, so he's the cop guy. We have Ronnie Blakely playing Marge Thompson. She was in Tales from the Dark Side. She played Cassie Pines, the false prophet, and that was in 1985. And she was in A Return to Salem's Lot, the Stephen King story. It was a part two to Salem's Lot. She played Sally in 1987.
She was Nancy's mother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. She's the one who played Nancy's mom.
I got to tell you something about that lady.
Something about her acting that made me think of her as like some kind of softcore 70s actress. Without getting too weird on it, but you watch her and it just seems like she was, I was wondering if she had some kind of habit in real life and took it over into her acting. And I'll just leave it at that. But I'm guessing that her nose itched quite a bit. Heather Langenkamp played our star, Nancy Thompson, the woman who, at that age, she was 21 when she would have been 20 when she did this movie. And she had, back then, and I can attest to this because my teeth were exactly the same way, she was all teeth. So when she talked, she would talk like this when she was saying her M's would come off her. And for some reason, that turned me on big time. And she was the hottest thing when I was a kid.
And oh, so her yelling mother, 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 or mother,
mother, over and over was wonderful. I was like, oh. And she was in Growing Pains, and she played Amy let's try this. I can do it. Amy Baltier. Hey. And Marie from 1988 to 1990, but she was on Growing Pains. And then she showed up again on Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, being Nancy Thompson one more time. She played herself in The New Nightmare that came out much, much later. And she, I'm sorry, I have a crush on her still. She's 50 now.
Is she really?
She's 50 years old, and she still looks like she's 20. Yep. And those teeth are rocking.
Zurb is a teeth fetish. Who knew?
I like chiclets. Amanda Weiss played Christina Tina Gray, She was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, 1982, and in Better Off Dead with, who is that?
Mr. Cusack.
Cusack, thank you. And Beth Truss in 1985. And that's one of my secret loves. I love that movie. I don't care how stupid it was, how bad it got, all those darn tomatoes. It was a great movie.
I had no idea that was Beth.
Yeah.
Wow. Beth until Truss. You just said that. I had no idea.
Yeah, and I used to have a crush on her, too, but her hair was too short. I don't like
You have a crush on everybody in this film.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Wait till we get to Johnny Depp.
Oh, boy.
Zoo Garcia, whose name was changed later to Nick Corey. I guess he wanted to have his own stage name like everybody else did. So he played Rod Lane. He was in the movie Predator 2. He played a detective. Not really listed. And then New Nightmare. He played himself again, 1994. And here we are, Johnny Depp. All the women drop.
Oh, that's great.
Johnny Depp. Sean, tell us how you love Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Johnny Depp.
You're not?
No, I'm not. But in this movie, actually, I thought he was okay in this movie. He was all right. But
I'm not a fan of modern Johnny Depp, but I'm going to tell you what. There was nobody cooler than him and Richard Grieco on 21 Jump Street. That hair... cool hair, man.
He always had cool hair. He still has
cool
hair.
Who are you going to be? You want to be him or the fat guy or the Asian guy? You want to be Johnny Depp. He's the cool one.
Well, I wouldn't mind being the Asian guy.
He was pretty badass, too. I can't think of his name.
He was the Asian guy.
The Asian guy.
Then
Holly Robinson.
Well, Johnny Depp played Glenn Lance, and he was in Platoon. He was Lerner in 1986. I don't know if he ever did anything after this. And then we got a good old Robert Englund.
Yeah.
He's the one who played that there, Freddy Krueger. Now he has a list of movies that came after Freddy Krueger, of course, and he was, of course, typecasts and horror films for the rest of his life. But before that, during 1984, at the same time that this movie came out, he played Sammy on Alice, and that was actually a return role that he played a couple of times in 1984. He played Zach on Chips in 1981, and he was in Charlie's Angels as Harold Belkin in 1980, but he also showed up on V, and he had some returning roles on the V show, and if anybody can help me with that, because I can't remember what he did.
I didn't watch it.
He was a killer alien with razor fingers.
And a hat.
And a hat.
And his face is melted.
You know what's funny is I'm sure, I know, I mean, you posted that he had these other, you know, roles and stuff. But when you see him now, you're like, that's Freddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's Freddy Krueger. And there are some people in this industry, and by Hollywood, not podcasting. But there are people that, you know, they're like, I don't want to be typecast as that. I don't, you know what I mean? But I mean, he's embraced it. I mean, he goes to the horror conventions. He goes to all these other things. And, so I like that. You know what I mean? It's like, he's not trying to be something that he's not. I mean, he is a good actor, you know, but yeah, he's always going to be to the fans of this series, Freddy Krueger.
Always. Yep.
Fred Krueger, as it appears in the credits. And I thought that was very odd.
Well, isn't that how Nancy references him? Because she said it says it right here in his hat.
Fred Krueger. To everybody, I thought he was Freddy. You know what I mean? So I forgot that he started out, you know, calling him Fred.
Well, this is my theory, and I don't know if it's if I'm wrong. I'm wrong because I'm really good at that. But that song that goes 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. If you really listen to that and listen to the kids sing it. They're actually singing 1, 2, Fred is coming for you. They don't sing Freddy, but it always turned out to be Freddy from every other movie onward.
Huh.
If you listen closely though, it says Fred. I listened to that over and I was like, you know what? That's why he's got the Fred Krueger title at the end of the film instead of Freddy.
It was almost known as Fredward.
Frederick.
Frederick
Krueger.
Frederick, or some call him Frank, if you knew him well enough.
He will teach you a lesson in cutlery.
I'll slice you. Then we had Charles Fleischer as Dr. King, not the Dr. King. And then we had Joseph Whipp as Sergeant Parker. And then we had...
Who had a dream that Freddy was in.
We had Lynn Shay, who played the teacher, who was also in all the Insidious movies. And mind you, part three is coming out very soon, guys.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for those films. Joe Unger played Sergeant Garcia. And the last and not least is Mimi Craven, who played the nurse in the hospital. That's Wes Craven's daughter, Mimi Meyer Craven. I am
very
done.
Good, man.
Hey, thank Baby you very Mimi. Much.
Good job.
Do I get to keep my job?
No.
All right.
But we're going to keep him on the piano.
Oh, I'm right. I can play well, I do.
She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails,
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
No one will survive.
Help me, please!
From Wes Craven, director of The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left, a new masterpiece in fantasy terror, Nightmare on Elm Street.
So this is obviously the first Nightmare on Elm Street, the first of many movies, and this one focuses on four high school students. We have Nancy and Tina and then their boyfriends, Glenn and Rod, and basically... four of these teenage kids start having nightmares, and what we don't know at the beginning of the film is that they are all having similar nightmares about the same person, and this person ends up being Freddy Krueger, who I think everybody who listens to this show knows who Freddy is. So eventually Freddy begins killing these teenagers one by one in their dreams. And what we learn is that when he kills teenagers, or I guess anybody, in their dreams, that they actually die in real life. And so first he kills Tina, and she is in the bedroom with Rod at the time. And Rod actually takes the rap for this murder. He goes to jail. And then when people start figuring out that maybe it might have been Freddy that killed Tina, then they go to the jail to try to ask Rod questions about how this happened. But when they arrive there, they find out that Freddy has killed Rod as well. And so basically, Glenn and Nancy come up with a plan where they are going to try and lure Freddy out of the dream world. Nancy learns that when she, whatever she's holding on to in these dreams, she can pull back through into the real world. And so she learns this by first pulling Freddy's hat through at one point. And so her plan becomes to pull actually Freddy into the real world. And so her big plan is to do this and have Glenn stop Freddy. But unfortunately, Freddy turns Glenn into a bucket of blood. So that doesn't work out. So eventually Nancy does pull Freddy through to the real world. And then there's a final showdown between Freddy and Nancy and her father, the lieutenant of the local police department. And at the very end of the movie, we think Freddy has been dismissed from this world, but there is a fake ending. Actually, there's a couple of fake endings. And then at the very end of the movie, we're not really sure what happened because we see Freddy again and all the people who were dead come back, but it appears to be a dream sequence. So basically the only thing that we know for sure is that there will be a Nightmare on Elm Street part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and maybe a remake or two in there as well. So the original Nightmare on Elm Street had a budget of $1.8 million, and it grossed $26.5 million. So one thing you know for sure is that when you get a 1,500% return on your investment, you know there's going to be sequels. And so there sure were a lot of sequels to this movie. And in fact, this is considered to be the movie that saved New Line from bankruptcy. They were basically, they had this movie and a couple others in the works, and they were going to close after this. And Nightmare on Elm Street brought in so much money that they latched themselves onto this franchise, and it's the one that put New Line into the black. But basically, that's the story to the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow. Amazing.
Yes, and lucky for them, I mean, man, this movie was so huge. And you mentioned there was, what, 8 sequels or 8 total movies?
You know what? I've got them. You know, I own the Nightmare on Elm Street box set. And I bought it, unfortunately, before the last couple of movies. So it doesn't even have all of them. But my box set has 7 movies, which go all the way up to Wes Craven's A New Nightmare. That was the 7th. And then the DVD box set comes with a DVD encyclopedia. But after that was Freddy versus Jason. That's Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th movies. And then there was a Nightmare on Elm Street remake. So technically there are 9 movies in the franchise. Jeez. And that's not, include everything else that goes around this. So,
and, yeah. And the remake, I think I saw like a making of it or something like that. And it didn't have the guy who plays Freddy was the kid in one of the kids in Bad News Bears, wasn't he? The original Bad News Bears, I think.
It could be. I did read that the guy, I don't know if Zerb knows, the one of the guys that actually applied for the role that Johnny Depp got, that applied for Glenn, he was turned down, and he is the guy that played Freddy right. in the remake. But I don't know. He may have been in the Bad News Bears.
He was...
Now he's Bad News Freddy.
They were friends, actually. They both went to the casting thing together. I remember this because I researched this before for a former podcast. I can't remember what show it was. But they went to that together, and Johnny Depp ended up getting the role, and he didn't. And that was what was so ironic. I mean, they were still friends. And then turned around, and he got to play Freddy later on in life. In the last movie, yeah. I had forgotten all about that. And I can't remember the guy's name.
Jackie Haley, I think it is.
Yeah. I just saw that too recently because we were doing this, and I thought it'd be fun to see that movie again.
Yeah, he played Kelly Leak in the Bad News Bears.
Oh, really? That's him?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bad boy. Kelly Leak. He was the pitcher, or no, he was the batter. Remember, at the very beginning when they were the guy that Kelly Leak is the one that had the motorcycle, the one that was a little bit older than everybody.
I didn't see it.
What? Guess who just... We just picked our next movie for Throwback Review, so...
I get to finally see it.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I've never seen it.
You know, it's funny, too, with all these movies in the franchise. I never saw this movie as a kid. I mean, it's no big secret. We've talked about it before on the podcast that I am not a fan of horror movies at all. But of course I had seen parts of it and, but never the whole film. And my opinion on it, I think it actually was pretty good.
Cool.
But even if you didn't see it, I'm sure you knew like who Freddy was, right? I mean,
yeah,
he was kind of like a cultural.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had seen the guy on many things and knew he was Freddy Krueger. And like I said, I had seen parts of scenes, but I just never wanted to watch it. So this was the first time I saw it from beginning to end.
Really?
And I thought it was funny because Nicole said, "What movie are you doing, my wife?" And I said, "Oh, we're doing Nightmare on Elm Street." And she said, "Oh, who picked it?" I said, "Oh, I picked it." She's like, "You don't like horror movies." And that one's real. She's like, of all the horror movies, that's actually kind of a creepy one. And yeah, I thought it was definitely creepy.
Yeah.
Do you think that this will change your view on watching any more horror films?
No, I don't. I don't really. I mean, I do watch them now, and it's usually just because, like right now, Nicole is, she's, "Oh, you're recording it? I'm going to run to the video store." And I don't even have to ask what genre. She'll have a stack of just horror movies. And that's just what she likes. So I get drawn into them occasionally. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes after we're done recording, I go downstairs and then she's watched something and I just get sucked into it. So I do like some of them, but let's put it this way. I'm not one of those people that would turn the lights off, watch it when I'm...
That's what I was going to ask. Were you like in a well-lit room when you watched it? Like the doors
locked?
Dude,
I watched it at work. I watched this at work on my breaks.
Oh yeah,
surrounded by all of his coworkers. I mean, protected,
safe. But how about you guys? I mean, Zerb, did you see this when it came out?
I saw this on VHS at a friend's house, and I think I was about 15. This came out in 1984. I would have been So 1985 is when it would have come out on VHS about a year later. And I remember it was very, very late, probably about 2 a.m. and my buddy and I couldn't sleep. And I can't remember if it was my buddy Pat or my buddy Dennis, but, he played it and I had never seen that type of movie, that theatrical, no holds barred film where it was sort of fantasy and reality mixed together. And it was amazing. But I'll tell you what, I didn't get scared. I got more scared at what was going to be the next gory thing I was going to see. The ideas that scared me were more like, scenes of supernaturalness, like Tina being dragged through the hallways in the school, the way that they lifted her feet and pulled her across. That was more scary to me than anything else. Or seeing Jason's face, Freddy's face, Mike Myers, who are we watching? Freddy's face, the detail and the burns and everything. And then that, you know, just the, oh, that was awesome. And that I like seeing. That was what was cool. And I guess I was just into that. And I always wanted to be a latex movie monster dude when I grew up. So that's what I loved about this movie. But yeah, that's when I first saw it at my buddy's house.
And what about you, Rob? You actually had kind of a little experience of being chased, right, or something?
Well, yeah, nobody really chased me. But it was probably the same time, 85. It was, I remember that this movie was relatively new and it was on HBO. And I was over at a friend's house this movie was coming on TV. And I would have been, let's see, 12 roughly. My buddy Jason, his not Voorhees, but just a kid named Jason. His mom was like, "Hey, is it cool if you watch this? You know, you should probably call your mom and make sure it's all right." And I'm like, "Okay, you know." So I knew that my parents would never let me watch this movie. And so I just went in the other room and picked up the phone and like pretended like I was calling home.
Oh, you didn't put a sound effects tape on?
Yeah, I just picked it up. I was like, yeah, can I watch this movie? Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, bye. Love you, Mom. I hung up, you know, and I go back. I'm like, yeah, my mom said it's cool. Don't worry about it, you know. And then it was an hour and a half of me being absolutely terrified. I mean, this is one of the first horror movies I ever saw. And this might be the first horror movie. Wow. I mean, right at the same time, it was, I know I saw this and Children of the Corn, like right around the same time, but obviously this is much more, gruesome, you know, bloody, than Children of the Corn was. And, you know, I wasn't spending the night over there. So, afterwards it was like 11:30 or midnight and I had to go home. And our backyards, his backyard and my backyard, there was a big creek in between the two, and I had to go through this creek, and there's no street lights or anything. It's just, you know, trees and weeds. And so, you know, I left his house and I was like, is that Freddy? Is that girls jump roping? Is that, and I ran so fast. I think I might've lost a shoe. Like I ran, like you ever run so fast, you run out of your shoes. Oh man. I just remember like trying to pull my pants up. Run through this creek and like slip it on the mud. I didn't even care. I ran so fast to get home. I was just terrified that Freddy was going to get me, man. So that was that, you know, I thought I was big stuff watching this movie, but I was definitely scared afterwards for sure.
That's the time when you can really feel your spine. That's when you feel it from your neck down to the tail. You just feel that almost like it's hooked on something. And you're just like, oh God, this is it.
Oh yeah. Like you don't even know you're running. Your feet are just like running on their own.
You're getting Flintstone noises.
See, and that's why growing up, I didn't like horror movies, man. I didn't like that constantly feeling like someone was behind me or, you know, if I'm going upstairs or going in the basement and then having to run up the stairs and yell for my mom, you know, mom, 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 mom. I don't know. I just didn't like that, man. Well,
when we were kids, my sister and I, we had a basement that would go downstairs, and Of course, well, that was a weird sentence. And we would sit at the top of the steps, and then we had saloon doors going to the basement. And there was, it was pitch black. If you looked underneath the saloon doors, it was pitch black into the basement. So my sister and I would sit at the top of the steps and yell down to things, you know, like, and to see if we ever would see something. And we inevitably get freaked out every time and then run all the way upstairs to the bedroom. And my sister and I would sit there and compare notes on what we saw. And if we had the same vision, there had to have been something there. Otherwise we were making it up. And, several times, you know, we'd run over there. And the older we got, you know, around the age of 15, 16, 17, you know, we'd start yelling, you know, Jason, Freddy, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And, but yeah, I was fueled by that feeling, that fear. I love that. And that's, I think that's why I'm addicted to these movies. It's like being on a roller coaster ride without having to put a strap on. What? You know what I mean? So you don't have to go up and over these hills or anything like that.
Right. Well, my daughter is only 9 and my son's 12 and my son doesn't like horror stuff as much as my daughter does, but, she's constantly begging me like to watch scary movies. And then she gets like, she does the whole little kid thing. Like she covers her face up with the blanket and peeks over the top, you know, and all this stuff. And my son was like, I don't understand, you know, like why you would watch scary stuff. And that's exactly the analogy I used. I'm like, it's like a roller coaster, you know? I mean, it's like that person, when we're done, like, you know, I've shown my kids, like, yes, that's Freddy, and he's very scary, and he's going to jump out and do things. And at the end, that's a mask. That's a guy, and he goes home.
Right.
And you know what I mean? I mean, it's pretend. It's just on the TV, you know, and that's hard for kids to differentiate the, you know, between the two. But, you know, as an adult, I do like it. I like the, you know, that feeling where something's going to jump out at you or, and especially like horror stuff. Now there's so much CGI where, you know, some of the ones that I've watched this month, I've been watching all these horror movies for the whole month and, you know, they'll cut somebody's head off and the head rolls off and it's still talking and blah, blah, blah. And they pick it up and put it back on. And you're like, yeah, it's obviously CGI. It's obviously computer work, you know, right. But, you know, like in movies like this where it's before computer graphics, like for me, I just look at the artistry. Like when, you know, there's a part where Freddy cuts his stomach and you can see the worms and stuff inside his stomach and you're, and all I'm thinking is like,
ramen. What
a cool job that is.
Yeah.
Like somebody spent a couple of days like, well, I got to make these worms for this guy's stomach. You know, I mean, like some dude built that, you know? So like from a artist appreciation, I like it. I like it from that aspect, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of that, I was talking with Nicole about it and cause she was asking me what I thought of it. And I thought, you know, the effects in this movie, I thought some were actually really good. And then some were just like complete crap.
Yeah.
Like that scene you're talking about, in the beginning, the first time you see him, I think where he slices open and you see maggots.
Mm-hmm.
Like those, I thought those were really good. The phone part, that was horrible.
Where the tongue came out of the phone.
Well, the whole bottom piece of the phone is like his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And the tongue comes out. Like that was really.
I like the scene where I think it's Nancy's laying in bed and Freddy's like pushes against the wall above her. Like he's coming out of the wall and then he goes back in or whatever. And again, you know, it's a practical effect. I mean, it's probably just a sheet of latex and some great lighting to give that effect, you know, but the way they pull it off is really good. And that scene you mentioned with the hallway where Tina, after she's dead, she starts appearing to Nancy in Nancy's dreams and she's in a body bag.
Yeah.
And she's being dragged around.
I love when her feet go up. That part, that was the great additive to that. If she just got dragged, you'd been like, okay, I kind of expected that. But when her feet go up first and then she gets dragged, it still gets me a little tingly when I think of it. I like that.
I thought the best setup was in the beginning of the movie where they show him creating the famous glove.
That's, you know, awesome.
Sharpening the blades, bending the copper, putting them on those gloves that were worn and sliding them on and testing them out and scraping them.
And you know
that I thought was great.
When that movie came out, you didn't realize what you were watching. You know what I mean? I mean, like, like, you know, I mean, when you watch the movie, you're like, okay, he's making the glove. But that glove is iconic. You know what I mean? I mean, it's been in 10 movies. And so to watch that scene now and go back, I was like, it is like watching history. You know?
Exactly.
And I think for me, I got to benefit from that more than, like you said, when you first saw it as a kid. Because I've seen it over the years. That glove is just such an iconic piece of movie history that I never saw that part when I was a kid. So now seeing it, I was really digging that part in the beginning. I mean, just what a great way to start it off. And yeah, the murder scenes, like the first one, and he cuts her across the belly, but you see Rod sitting there on the floor, but he sees the wounds happening with nobody there and coming from like it's just opening up from the inside. And then, yeah, when she started going on the ceiling and stuff, that was pretty.
They got their use good. Out of the rotating room effect in this movie, because there's at least two
scenes. Yeah. Johnny Depp scene. When the geyser of blood is just pouring to the ceiling.
You know what? There's a fact on IMDb that says they used over 500 gallons of blood in this movie. And I'm sure a lot of it was from that scene. I mean,
I was going to say, 450 of the gallons were probably right in that scene.
It's like a ton. Geyser. It's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, in the scene when she is in school and she's, you know, nodding off, because I think, what was it, a guy reading like Shakespeare or something?
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would have been in school, too. I totally would have been in the back just nodding off. But yeah, when Zurb, that body bag, that clear body bag where she starts talking to her, and then she's getting drugged down the hall, that was, those things, like you said, that's what kind of grabbed me and gave me that little, like, ooh, that chill.
That was a creative writer, whoever put that puppy in there. Same thing. Going back to that glove too. When I was a kid and, Halloween would roll around, or if I just wanted to play with my friends, I would take cardboard and cut out fake knives. And then I would take tinfoil and wrap it around there. And then I would staple them to the gloves that mom bought us for winter. We used to run around the neighborhood, you know, and that's what we did. And of course, you know, what I would have been 16 or 17. So that's actually kind of pathetic. But we did it.
We were on a budget, so all we had was I would duct tape some spoons to a mitten and chase it.
Oh God!
Chase the kids around with that.
Yeah,
wasn't quite the same.
No, popsicle sticks to the fingernails or something. That is good.
You know what? One of the scenes that I kind of was like, was when she did have the dream and she burned her arm, when she realized that she could wake herself up. Or actually, was it, I think it was Johnny Depp's character who said, if you're just having a bad dream, just tell yourself it's a dream and you'll wake up. And so when Nancy's being chased and there's all the steam pipes and everything, and she burns her arm. Now, when she wakes up, she's walking out of the school and you can see it clearly on her arm. And I'm thinking is, please don't look at it. Please don't look. Like, I didn't want that scene where she stops and then like, come on. To me, it would have been so much better, so much more build up. She just walks out of school. It's clear that's the wound from the dream.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
I don't
know
think
what?
They needed to do that.
I think with audiences and stuff, I think, unfortunately, I think you have to do that. You have
you
to have
spoon
that.
Feed?
That scene. Yep, you got to. You know, it's the old, introductory speech at the beginning of Blade Runner where, you know, they're like, nope, audiences will never understand this, so we're going to have to explain the whole film to them in 45 seconds and then let them watch it, you know. And I think it's just, because I agree with you, it was, I mean, first of all, when she did it, and she woke up. I mean, even if maybe she could have, I mean, when she woke up right then, they could have just had a quick cut to it or something, you know what I mean? And done it really quickly. So you would have had to maybe be paying attention and you would have seen it. But yeah, I think unfortunately a lot of times they just do that. They have to, you know, make it so obvious, but I agree with you. It could have been done a little bit more subtly.
Yeah, it doesn't ruin it. I just think it would have made it even better where you're like, oh my God, Rob, did you see her arm? Like, you know what I mean? You'd see her walk out of school and you're kind of just like, wow, that's, she brought it in back from the dream or the nightmare.
Yeah, she could have just been rubbing her arm on the way out or something, you know?
So, but yeah, what about you, Kevin? What about some of the scenes that really stood out for you?
I liked the Freddy floppy arm scene where he right in the beginning of the movie where he's going down the.
You like that?
I really did. That. When I first saw it, I thought that was pretty damn cool. I never had ever thunk that up in my wildest dreams. Someone coming after me, and no matter where you're going, you're gonna be smacked by riding the snake arm man who's coming after you.
I guess the. It, now seeing it as when I was a kid, I thought it was silly, you know, but I guess as an adult, now I see it as they're kind of showing that anything can happen in the dream. You know what I mean? That he, you know, and they, I think later in that scene, like he's chasing behind her and then she goes around the corner and then he's in front of her, you know? So right. Obviously the dream world is his domain, you know, but that being said, it, I don't know, seems like. Of all the things he could do, you know, like I'm in a dream world. I could, you know, turn everything here into fire or all this. Well, I think what I'll do is I'll just make my arms really long, you know, it seems like there are other things he could do with that power, but
yeah, you know, it's funny too. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's when the part of breakdancing where people actually made their arms snake around a bit. I think that's when that started.
It came from this.
Yeah.
They had fingerless gloves with little, knives on the end.
Yeah, sure. But go ahead, Sean. Say,
it was funny. I saw somebody had posted a bunch of Freddy Krueger figures on Facebook this week, and there was one that had the real long arms. And I'm looking at him. Like,
oh,
what
really?
What is that?
Oh, and you didn't know?
No, I didn't. And
oh,
I thought,
that's cool.
But I knew that there was had been multiple Nightmare on Elm Street. So I'm like, this has got to be from one of the sequels. And then I'm watching it today, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And now, if you watch that scene after his arms and he starts chasing her down the alley, I made note, man. I swear that was a kid dressed up in. If you rewatch that, it does not look like the same guy chasing. It looks like someone smaller.
Well, he's doing something weird. He's like wiggling his arm. He looks like one of those the inflatable wigglies they always have outside of a car dealership.
Like, yeah.
Wiggling.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't look like him. It looked like it was maybe put in after someone younger. It was.
Well,
I didn't care for that scene.
Another one would have been that the Evil Dead that was playing on the TV set while Nancy was trying to stay awake after taking the stay awake pills.
I did not notice that. I didn't notice that at all.
If you watch what was on TV when she went into bed, it was the Evil Dead, which is paying homage, of course, to Sam Raimi, who put out that movie in 1981. That was the movie that I saw first and before seeing A Nightmare on Elm Street. And since that movie was so gory and bloody, I think that's what prepared me for, you know, anything that came afterwards. But there was a lot of that. If you watch Evil Dead, you'll see hanging in the and Sean, you've seen Evil Dead.
No.
Hanging inside of the main shed is a Freddy glove. It's tacked to the wall. Yeah. So there was back and forth with Sam Raimi and John Carpenter? No. Wes Craven. Back and forth with that. And it was pretty neat. So that was kind of like paying homage back and forth to each other. And I thought that was cool.
I did notice her watching. I figured it was some sort of horror movie, but I had no idea. I just figured one of you guys would know.
Evil Dead.
So I'm going to talk about the end of the film here. The end of the film, I mentioned a little bit in the intro that, or in the summary, that Nancy learns that she can bring things through out of the dream world into the real world. And she does this first with Freddy's hat. She's holding onto his hat. She wakes up and voila, his hat is in her hands. So her plan becomes she's going to bring Freddy through. And then her boyfriend, Glenn, she says, like we said in the intro, one of the more famous lines from the movie, she tells Glenn, whatever you do, don't fall asleep. But much to all of our chagrin, except for Sean's, Johnny Depp does fall asleep.
Damn it.
And that's when I know it was terrible. Terrible. Damn it, Depp. Just a great actor. I know. Yeah. But
he falls asleep with a TV on his lap
and like headphones on.
I mean, I fall asleep, you know, with my phone or my tablet in my lap, but a damn 13-inch TV. Come on.
First of all, it's just an odd thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like I had TVs when I was a kid. I had a little TV, but I never just laid on bed with it in my lap.
And who can sleep with a half shirt on? You know,
it's the whole scene's kind of weird, but so Nancy is like, oh, and you know, her plan is she tells him, well, you're a jock, just hit him in the head. Okay, well, that's first of all, that's a terrible plan to stop an undead murderer who kills people in your dreams is to bonk him on the head. Like, I feel like there should have been some more forethought in that. But you know, so Glenn gets killed. So then she says, well, we'll try it again, but I'm going to get my father to do it. And her father is the lieutenant of the police department. So she brings Freddy through, and she's been reading all these books about how to create booby traps and, you know, guerrilla warfare type things. So she has booby trapped her entire house. And so it turns into this kind of wonky Home Alone episode where she's running and then she like steps over the tripwire, but not Freddy. He gets it and oh, the sledgehammer hits him in the belly. And you know, later on he, and what else? There's like an explosion. Like she booby traps a lamp.
Yeah. Like puts gunpowder in a lamp or something.
Right. Like that's going to stop him. I mean, by the way, this guy just, he's dead.
Well, yeah, she knows the story from her mother. Her mother's already told her what they did.
Yes, her mother has the Freddy Krueger museum artifacts in her basement. I mean, they now have the hat and the glove.
And why would she keep that?
That is so weird.
To prove that he's dead?
I don't, like, if I ever sit down to my kids, it's like a 1-2 punch. Like, I sit down someday with my kids, like, we're going to gather around for Christmas, you know, get around the fireplace. I'm going to be like, by the way, I'm going to tell you a story. One time, me and your mommy got together, and there was a bad guy at the end of the neighborhood, and so we killed him. We burned him alive. And if you don't believe me, here's something we saved. And it's so weird.
I hate when she said, good lawyers and a bad judge. Or something.
Yeah, there's like a little jab in there. Yeah. But she's running around the house, and her mother has completely barred the house closed, so she can't get out. She's yelling at the police who are across the street investigating, you know, Glenn's murder. And she's like, help, help, help. And the cops are like, I don't know. Maybe we should tell somebody. I mean, they're just staring. And it's like they're 30 feet from a crime scene, so you'd think they might be looking for the killer, you know. And so this is the part that just really bugged me. Her mother has barred up the entire house so nobody could get out. The door is locked. And then so she runs down in the basement and Freddy comes down there and then she's like, now I'm going to set you on fire. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a terrible plan for being in a basement of a house you can't get out of. Like, we should not be starting fires. Let's think of something else here.
The girl hadn't slept for like 4 days. She took a little cat nap, brought Freddy back out.
She was set. It was 7 days because she said, I'm on day seven. The guy in Guinness lasted 11 days.
Yeah. I looked that up actually after to see if that was true and it said that. 11 days. Wow. But I really? Guess Guinness, I had read something real brief my break was any but that I guess Guinness doesn't log that anymore. I don't know if it's
I think you can die.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, you can really so die
they,
from
Yeah, so they know. Don't they don't keep track of that anymore, yeah. I guess.
Good.
So yeah, so Nancy is number two in Guinness. If there's a footnote in there,
yeah. And when all this is going on, where's Mom? Passed out with a vodka bottle,
right? Yeah, Mom is a little hitting the bottle. Well, she feels a little guilty since she tracks down child molesters and burns them and keeps souvenirs. So
and having a drinking problem on top of that,
right? I mean, if you think about it, I'm doing the math here. In this movie, Freddy kills three people. And her mother killed one. So So Freddie only killed two more people than Nancy's mother killed.
That's true. And you know what the worst part is Nancy's mother is killing herself.
That's true. Yeah. So that's like, that's know? Two. Just, really?
Yeah.
She drinks herself to death. That's two. Freddie's only at three.
And she's a terrible actress.
She killed her chances at an Oscar.
That's true.
That's three.
Downhill. Sorry, Sean. What is?
No, I was just gonna say. Did her mother give a number? I feel like she said something about he had killed like 20 kids in the neighborhood. Was it?
She said something like that, and then she says it was all kids we knew. And you know what? This brings me to another point. There's an entire era of horror movies that could only exist. What's the best way to put this? They could only exist in that era, like in the 80s. They couldn't exist now where everybody has cell phones and the internet. Right. You know, because like a big part of this movie is, I want to know who Fred Krueger is. Well, get on Google, lady. Go look up, because I guarantee you, if you killed 20 kids in a neighborhood, that's going to be on Google somewhere, you know? And then, you know, like all this stuff like, oh, well, don't fall asleep and this and that. Well, call me on your cell phone. But, you know, none of that stuff, it just wouldn't work today. They'd have Not to write all. Around it or do something different, you know? But I remember at in one of the later, I think it was Freddy versus Jason, where they... where Freddy shows up at the rave. Is that what that?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And there's like 500 kids and you're like, wow, none of them has a cell phone. Like nobody called 911 to say a guy just appeared out of midair and is stabbing people, you know? So these movies just kind of have, I don't know, I guess it's a time capsule of that era a little bit, you know? But
definitely. And nowadays, if they wrote it, there would have to be a ton of power outages. And that's the only way.
Right, the
that
first
no one
thing
would
Freddy does is go attack AT&T.
Right,
and
take
cut
down the
fiber. Right. I don't know if he could type with those gloves on, but I'm trying to log in now.
Well, you know, leading into to that scene when she goes to
my user account, it seems to be not working.
Oh, no.
Did you try password? Did you try what was the name of your first pet?
1-2 is coming for you or something like that. That's what we had.
That's not right. Sorry. What's the last four of your social?
6-6-6-7.
Nope. I'm sorry. You're going to have to make a new account.
What's your mother's maiden name, please?
Agnes. Agnes Krueger? No.
I don't believe that's her maiden name, sir.
No. You know what?
You just shut down the whole grid. They're going to know about me in about 20 seconds. If they Google me, I'm screwed. If you could please go and I'll cut you. That's all I can say. I'll cut you.
You know what? Freddie's mother's maiden name was Sister Mary Helena.
Really?
Yeah. Because she was... remember, we find out in... which one is it? She was the nun. Remember, and she got attacked by all the crazy... She was the son of a thousand bastards or whatever, and they have her gravestone. Right. And Sister Mary Helena. So if only he'd have known that, he could have reset his password.
He could have, and then he could have saved everything right there.
There you go. Didn't work out.
Mm-mm. You know what I really liked about the nightmare sequence when she purposely goes in to pull him out is she's walking down the stairs from her bedroom, goes into the living room, goes into her basement, and then there's like another door and she opens it and now she's walking down the basement into the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that they didn't just have her nightmare go right into the warehouse. I just thought that was because I mean, everyone knows like dreams, nightmares, they're kind of screwed up, you know.
There's never that logical, like, yeah. You wake up and, you know, like I'll tell my wife about a dream the next day and I'm like, okay, it was me, you, and our kids, except for our kids were monkeys, and we had a spaceship. And it's like, when you're dreaming, that makes total logical sense. You're like, oh, it's my wife and our two monkeys, you know? And so, I mean, your brain just makes those weird connections. And so in your head, it makes total sense that one basement would connect to another basement. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. That's like total dream logic. You're absolutely right on that.
Yeah. So I'm glad they threw that in. I thought that was really, really kind of cool, because they easily could have just had her go right into the warehouse, or maybe even outside the warehouse and going in. So that, mm-hmm. to have that connection that way, I thought that was pretty cool.
Smooth transition. Really, really well done.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, speaking of smooth transitions, Herb, why don't you tell us about the music in this movie?
I'd love to.
I don't know if that was smooth, but.
Oh. Well, Charles Bernstein is the composer for the first film, and he's composed more than 100 motion pictures. He's composed music for over 100 motion pictures, including movies like White Lightning, Mr. Majestic, The Entity, Cujo, and Love at First Bite. He's done several tracks which appeared in movies, Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill and Inglourious Basterds. He had some of his songs played in there. But some of the other Nightmare films that came out after the original one started getting a lot of big names, quote unquote, especially for the times. In part three, Dokken, the heavy metal band Dokken, wrote the Dream Warriors, the theme song
for
the movie.
The Dream Warriors! That's a great song.
I love Rob's voice.
The video is at the end of that movie.
Yeah, it is.
And then remember Freddie wakes up and he's having a nightmare. He's like, oh, what was that horrible music? That's a great video.
Bruce Dickinson sang Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter in part five.
Bring your daughter. I'm not going to sing them all.
Oh, go for it. Let me hear you.
No.
You have to get high pitched. Now, this album I own, judge me if you will, but Samantha Fox, Now I Lay Me Down, that appeared in part five.
Really?
I'll go get the album if you want. It's a great cover. Iggy Pop.
The magazine issue she was in.
Oh, Teen Beat? Iggy Pop was, he did a song, Why Was I Born? Freddy's Dead, quote unquote, in part six. But the coolest thing was in 1988, Nightmare on My Street, which is a pretty popular song. I think everybody's heard that. From DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince wrote this one. Song became a crossover hit in the U.S., reaching number 15 on the top 100. But the song was not considered. Well, first it was considered for an inclusion in the movie. Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Warrior. Oh, I'm sorry, The Dream Master. But the producers of the film decided against it. And eventually New Line Cinema sued both of them and for copyright infringement and writing a song about a movie without permission. So they ended up settling for that out of court.
That's crazy that you could sue somebody for writing a song or something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, they do. There's like Freddy impersonations, whatever. I love this song. I had no idea about this story here about a lawsuit or whatever, but I've got like 200 or 300 Halloween songs, and every year around this time, I'll put them all on my phone. Like, I'll make a Halloween playlist, and this is always on there, you know. And so my kids know this song. I always liked this, and I'm pretty sure I heard this. I think it was on Dr. Demento when I was a kid. I think that's probably where I heard it, you know. So that's a shame that it was tied up in a lawsuit or whatever. Yeah. Do you know this song at all, Sean?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
You know this? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your DJ now. I love that line.
It was a good song. The first time I saw it was on MTV. But, yeah, so for this particular movie.
Is there a video?
Yeah, there is a video for it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Somebody else was in it, too, and I couldn't remember now. But, yeah,
there Samantha is a video Fox? For
it. I hope.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Well, you know, on every show we talk about the cultural impact of these movies and whether or not they had any. And surprisingly, there was nothing. There's never been anything related to Freddy ever really. Oh, wait, no, that's. Oh, we go to the next page. Oh, it turns out there's a lot of stuff related to Freddy, starting with, as I mentioned, a sequel, Freddy's Revenge, followed by Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, followed by Dream Master, Dream Child, The Final Nightmare, New Nightmare, Freddy versus Jason, and then eventually that 2010 remake. So there are 9 movies in this franchise. Also, there was a DVD box set. I mentioned I own that. There has the first 7 movies. And it also comes with a set of 3D glasses. And I can't remember if it's the end of part 4 or part 5. One of those, there's a scene like the last 5 minutes are in 3D.
Wow.
And so you have a little 3D glasses to put on. There were several Nightmare on Elm Street games. There was a game released for the Commodore 64 and for the PC, and this is back in the DOS days. And there's also one for the Nintendo, the original NES. And oddly enough, those two games are not the same game. It's two different games.
Mm-hmm.
One of them involves you have to go around and collect Freddy's bones and try to hide them all before he's resurrected. And the other one, the one on the Commodore is more like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, where you have to go save like Kincaid and all the kids that were in the Dream Warrior kids.
Wow.
I briefly Googled Nightmare on Elm Street collectibles, and what do you want to know? Action figures, dolls, pillow sheets, coffee mugs, bobbleheads. I found Freddy Krueger red and green striped apron, hoodies. I mean, you name it. It's anything you could possibly want. And then most importantly, I mean, I think the one thing that everybody has always seen are the Nightmare on Elm Street Halloween costumes. I mean, I think and you could get them from every range. You could get the $5 plastic hat and plastic, you know, like the cheapo. It doesn't even look like a burn face. It looks like a pile of spaghetti with eyeballs cut in it. And then a plastic glove all the way to, I mean, they have really expensive and really good looking ones. But so that was one of the things that I thought. I mean, we went trick-or-treating, oh gosh, probably been 4 or 5 years ago. My nephew was little. I mean, he was like 7 or 8, and he wanted to be Freddy. And he went with us, and I was like, oh, Freddy Krueger. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, do you know who Freddy Krueger is? He's like, no.
I don't think that mattered.
Yeah. It's just a scary. It's just so iconic. It's like Jason. I mean, really, this is one of the icons from our era. I mean, as far as horror goes, I mean, you have Jason, you have Freddy, you have Michael Myers, and maybe Chucky if you go that far. But these people that just, you put on that hat and that sweater and that glove and, you know, and then there you go. It doesn't matter if you haven't seen the movies or don't know the history or whatever. It's you just know that it's a terrifying person.
Nice.
Yeah. My oldest son, Ethan, he's been, you know, saying, oh, Jason, Chucky, him and his buddy used to talk about Chucky. They've never seen these movies, although I think his buddy may have seen some of them. And today when I picked him up from school, I said, yeah, I'm doing Nightmare on Elm Street because he's been talking about it. He wants to see Freddy Krueger. And he's like, oh, can I watch? I'm like, no, you're, you know, your kid. And I'm like, you know, no,
this is your oldest boy.
Yeah. He's 12.
Yeah. The stuff that bothers me more is like nudity and over the top language. I don't mind a little bit of language because my kids have heard a little bit of language from me. So, you know, I mean, if it's a couple of words here and there, but, so mostly I've tried to been weeding things out based on actual, violent, like if it's over the top violence, you know what I mean? But when I watched this one, I thought there's some scary stuff in here. You know, I mean, there's some stuff that will probably give kids nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah. I told them you're definitely not ready for it. I mean, there's like brief nudity in this. I mean, it's so fast.
Is there?
Yeah. When Nancy's in the tub and she gets pulled under.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You see some nipple.
Yeah. I got printouts right here. Oh, sorry.
But
mostly her teeth. Go ahead.
I know what'll happen. Mm-hmm. Like, Dad, in the middle of the night, Dad.
Why do Freddy's under my nipples? Bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Nicole grew up watching this stuff. She's like, I think I was probably 12 when I saw it. I'm like, yeah, well, look at you now. Right. Go to your website, www.milliemonsterland.com. I mean, it shows. You should see, I mean, the artwork she has that she gets from other artists. She likes creepy stuff, man. She will come home with something, like she'll go to a show and she'll come back. She'll go, yeah, I did some trading or whatever. And she'll just pull it out and look at me, and I'll either give her a yes or a no, which means, yes, you can hang it like amongst somewhere in the house.
Right.
Or no, it's going in your studio. And the last one she got, I was like, it's really cool. You guys would love it. I'll have to take a picture and show you guys on Voxer.
Oh, yeah.
But, it was a definite no. I know this guy's artwork. He does some creepy shit. But it's really, really well done, but not for the living room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got to tell you this real quick, and I know we're winding down. When I was a kid, and I was probably 13, 14, and I was just getting into that era where I started like getting heavy metal posters to hang on my wall, you know, like I had just got I think it was right when Seventh Son of a Seventh Son came out. Like, I had some Iron Maiden post. I didn't even listen to Iron Maiden, but I was like, oh, that guy's cool. You know, he's scary. And, you know, just whatever, like, whatever would be cool. Like, I thought other kids would think was cool. And so my grandma from Chicago had come down, and she and my mom had gone to a, like, an antique mall or a flea market or something. And she came home with three posters. This is my grandma, who's probably, I mean, even then is like, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s, you know? And anyway, she comes home with three posters. There's a Metallica poster, but there's no way she knows who Metallica is, even today. I mean, it had like, it was the Kill 'Em All. It had the big demon thing on it, you know? So she was just buying cool stuff for her grandson. And she bought me an Iron Maiden, the Trooper poster. And she bought a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 poster that all it was Freddy, like his whole face, and he's holding the glove like in front of his face and he's looking. And I was like, oh my God, Grandma, that is so awesome. And I hung that, and that used to scare the hell out of me. I was like 14 or something, and I would lay there, and it would look like he was looking at me, you know? And it just, my sister's bedroom, if she opened her door and looked all the way down the hallway, she could see into my room, like we were at the opposite ends of a hallway. And so I hung it so like when both of our doors were open, that Freddie would be looking at her. Mm-hmm. My mom eventually like made me move where it was. But, I mean, I always thought that was cool that my grandma was like she's just looking for something scary. And that's what she found, was this Nightmare on Elm Street poster.
Nice. We had the same thing. We had a Nightmare on Elm Street poster. And it's one where he looks down at you and his head is up. And the hat is cocked backwards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So he's looking straight down at you. And yeah, there'd be times I'd wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh, yeah, you. And,
yeah. I always wanted a poster of Glenn after he was in the bucket.
Just
be a poster of a big bloody pile.
With the Kool-Aid guy coming through going, oh, yeah.
barging through. My buddy, when I was in, he was in like sixth grade or something. There was a video store, which is a rarity nowadays. But and it was back when you would go and they'd have all the posters or even the cardboard cutouts. And like you, if you were there quick enough, you could get your name written on the back of it. You know?
Oh,
and
yeah. So
he always had horror film posters, and nice. I would sleep over there. Not all the time, but often enough. I was like, God, he's like, yeah, look at new toy. Oh man, I want to see that new poster.
Yeah,
so I'm sure I saw this one.
My parents had a computer store for a year or so, and we were located next to a movie rental place. So I would go over there, and just like that, I would get movie posters, and I had a bunch of horror ones. And you know, I'd hang them up, and people would be like, "Oh, what's that movie about?" I'm like, "I don't know. I'm not old enough to rent it." But the poster's really awesome. That's
cool. Yeah.
And we would like imagine what the movies would be like, you know.
Well, I have to say that, you know, not being a huge horror film fan, I did enjoy this movie. Will I watch it again? No, probably not. But I actually like this better than Children of the Corn. Halloween was okay. I think I actually like this one more than Halloween, which we did last year with my wife. Yeah, I'm glad we did this one. Acting, I think the acting was just typical for a horror movie, right? I mean, the acting was pretty bad. But I thought the creep factor was there. Maybe it was because it is in your mind. It's in your dreams. So, like you said, anything can kind of go. And so I think that's the kind of creepiness of it. So, plus the fact of him scraping those damn blades across.
Oh,
that was awful. Yeah. That was awful. So, but I don't know. Do you guys got anything else you want to add to this? I think I'm good on this one, Kevin.
This to me was the beginning of a fantasy / horror genre that kind of picked up after the first Freddy Krueger movie. It entered that dream world where anything could have been done, and it made horror movies that came out after that have to try to beat that. So it improved horror. I think this movie helped improve horror. And that's something that I guess we as 40 somethings owe a debt of gratitude for this movie that came out that way. So yeah, I truly love the Nightmare on Elm Street series, even though it's, again, I say it a lot, it's cheese, but it's sure as delicious cheese. I would put this as a fine, like Yarsberg or a good brie.
Good.
Thank you.
That's good that you enjoy them. You know, I look at horror movies like I do seafood. Like I want to enjoy, I want to like them, but I just can't. Just can't do it.
But you got to watch the rest of them now that you saw the first one, right?
Yeah. That's not going to happen because, well, you know, the third one, Rob, though, and that you were talking about earlier today when we were talking, the Dream Warriors one seems kind of interesting. But I don't know about the other ones, like the Freddy and Jason. I think you said it was.
Oh, you got to see it.
I'll
buy you a copy.
You don't need to buy me a copy. I'm sure I can find it right after the show. But I just don't know. I'd rather watch an episode of The Golden Girls or Murder, She Wrote, I guess.
Would be a crossover. You get Freddy on with The Golden Girls.
Hey, I mean, they got Magnum and Murder, She Wrote to do a crossover.
Well, you know, for me, I haven't seen this one in a long time. I mean, going back and seeing the original was nice because, you know, it was like in all these horror franchises, in the early films, it's about the film. You know what I mean? I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street is about the story. It's about the film. And then when it turned that huge profit, they were like, and of course they left it open for a sequel, you know, but then you have the second one and, you know, everyone ends with like, they go, no, this is how you got to kill Freddy. I think I remember that was it the Dream Warriors or there's one where they were like, no, you got to take his bones and bury him on hollow ground and do all this. And they do that. And then in the next one, they're like, no, that's not how you kill. You know what I mean? It's like they just, they backtrack and they keep bringing him back to life because they know they're going to make, and every Nightmare on Elm Street has turned a profit. Haven't been any. Yeah. And I mean, by profit, I mean like at least $10 million. So it's a money making franchise. So they can't afford to, I mean, I think there's, I'm trying to remember which one it was. I think the sixth one is called The Final Nightmare and there's three after that. So, it's just,
why won't you die?
Final Nightmare for real this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Freddie kind of turned into that wisecracking guy. He was kind of he got to the point where he was handing out one-liners, you know, with each kill. And then later on, it got to even like more, silliness kind of stuff. And so to go back and see this one, where he was, just evil, you know, there's a few different quotes from this movie that I liked. There's one when he's got Nancy cornered down in the basement and he just growls, "I'll kill you slowly."
No.
And you're like, horror. That's not funny. That's like scary. You know, the fact that he's going to do it slowly and torture you.
Yeah.
So to go back and see this one again and to see where Freddy started. And like Sean said, that first scene where he's making his glove, that just was like going back home. You know, I mean, that's just seeing where it all began. And that glove that this is 1984, 30 years later, my nephew, you know, wants this glove for Halloween to wear around and to go back and see that at the beginning. I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, I'd definitely watch this again. And, it does make me want to go through, even though I don't think most of them aren't as good as this one. It makes me want to go through and watch them all. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that tonight. I got two pots of coffee downstairs ready to go. I'm not going to sleep for 7 days anyway. So,
two pots of coffee, some no sleep pills. You know what? When Ethan is, I don't want to say older, but just, I don't know. When Nicole's like, you know what? I think he's ready to watch it. I may sit and watch it with them. It's just, you know, it's just not my genre of movie that I like to sit and watch. But I mean, obviously we're going to cover some horror films, you know, you guys like them. And I do like being able to go back and see these movies. I never saw Halloween before, but it's so iconic, just like this movie. So I'm glad I did watch it. So, and we'll do more. We'll do more movies in the future like this. But
next Rob, week, part two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to close out the year with the rest of the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Definitely.
But talking about closing out, Rob, why don't you give us any of your plugs?
Just the same old stuff. You can always find whatever I'm up to at RobO'Hara.com. And if you want to find the latest episodes of You Don't Know Flack or Sprite Castle or any of that stuff, just head on over to ThrowbackNetwork.net and you can find those shows and lots of other great retro podcasts.
That's right. And can I put you on the spot, Rob?
Sir, yes.
Will we be getting a You Don't Know Flack anytime soon?
Yeah.
No.
No.
you know what? I have an entire one ready to go. And oddly enough, it is Halloween and trick-or-treat themed. So
awesome.
You'll probably be hearing that right around
probably
Halloween
before this comes
or
out.
Maybe Thanksgiving. No, you'll definitely be hearing that before Halloween.
I'm excited.
Well, that's good because I know everyone gets excited when you put one of those out. So we look forward to it. How about you, Kevin?
Well, you can find anything that I do at Zerbinator Land. That's where I put all my shows and music links and anything like that. And that's zerbinator.wordpress.com.
And you can find your albums there too as well.
Oh, and well, the albums, if you go to bandcamp.com is where I keep those. I have Zerbinator.bandcamp and then also Zerbatron.bandcamp. And as a matter of fact, the fall album is coming out pretty soon. I've got to try to get that out hopefully as like right after Halloween because I want to work on a winter one for and include some Christmas music on there. So right now, and as a matter of fact, if I can also plug again some Mealy Monsters, I wrote a song for the Mealy Monsters and because of Rob, I wrote a song called The First Day of Fall. So thank you both. And,
awesome.
So that's going very well. I've been enjoying that.
Can I plug something as Zerbs real quick?
I would love that.
The, I think you guys mentioned it before. You guys turned me on to it, but Zerb does, this show. I guess what you'd call it a podcast called Spiderwebs.
Yeah.
And it's a completely like these are original shows. I mean, original, They're almost like little mini plays or something. I mean, that you have put together. They're full of sound effects and stuff in there. I don't. The ones that I've listened to have all been kid appropriate. Are they all that way?
I hope so. When you said that, there's a being the person who wrote them. I don't know. I don't know if they're all kid appropriate. Maybe 12 and up. I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to hit the Alfred Hitchcock type of thing, but getting a little bit darker than that, like the old 70s Halloween records.
Right. Well, we just went on a road trip last weekend. We went to, drove to Denver and back. So we had, and a lot of times, you know, I'll put music on, but nobody can agree what to listen to. Like the kids don't want to listen to my music, and I sure don't want to listen to their music. And, you know, I have a lot of podcasts on my phone, but, you know, they don't want to hear about old computer games and stuff, or not for long. And so I was like, oh, you know what? I forgot. I just added this podcast. And we probably listened to 5 or 6 episodes in a row. And the kids were dying for more. They're like, let me hear more. Let me hear more. And I was like, well, my stupid phone's out of space. I can't, can't get any more on here right now. So we had to get some more for the way back. But they absolutely, and my wife was like, this is the guy that's on your show. I'm like, yes, he does all these sound effects and voices and stuff. So if you're looking for something, you know, around Halloween, or, you know, something to listen to, and like I said, it's not overly scary, but they're really good to listen to. So you should
thank you.
Go check out Spiderwebs for sure.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that very much.
Sure.
Yeah, awesome shows. You just put a new one out.
I just did
about it's 2 weeks ago.
Sticks and Stones, and it's
that was a great one.
Yeah, it was a fun. That's the last story that I wrote, actually. The most recent story. I got to get some more written, but I do have some under the hat, so more will come out soon.
And we started listening to them backwards. I mean, we started with that one and then started working our way back because that's the way that the podcatcher downloaded them, you know, so.
You know, there is messages hidden in there when you do play them backwards like that.
Really?
Yeah. It's really happy messages, though, like go hug a friend or, you know, tip your waitress.
I have something that I kind of got in the works. I'm actually going to do a podcast with my 12-year-old son that I was talking about called Capsule Cast. I don't know when I'm going to put it out. And it's going to be retro-related. It may have different segments in it, but I like to come up here every once in a while and sit down with Ethan. And I need to start doing it with my other two kids. They're younger, so they get a little bit crazy when the microphone's on. It's hard to really kind of get a good conversation with them, but I still need to do that because that's good to document that as well. But we would do it. We call it Capsule Cast because it's just kind of like a time capsule in a podcast format. We talk about a few things. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks you'll see Capsule Cast on the Throwback Network. Maybe
cool.
You shared episode 4, I think it was, with us, and that's I highly suggest it. It's awesome. First of all, because you're an incredible parent, but number two, you have some incredible kids. I mean, he is very bright. He's saying stuff that I would never even fathom thinking at that age. And the conversations that you have are awesome. Really awesome. Yeah. So that is something
thank you.
Very, very worth listening to.
Let's get Ethan on for Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
That would be awesome. Okay.
So anyways, I'll hopefully be putting that out sometime soon. He's actually bugging me to do it. And we were just starting it off as just for us. And then we start coming up with ideas and things we could do. Little segments and stuff. So we're both pretty jazzed up to do it. He's been asking me all week, can we record tonight? I'm like, but I'm nice. Sorry, man, but I'm too busy. So, that'll be cool. You know, what we think about this movie. If you want, send us an email. Let us know what you thought about the movie. You can send it to feedback@throwbackreviews.com, or you can even give us a call on our voicemail. It's 716-243-2709. We're on Twitter, and it's at Throwback Review. Kind of weird you couldn't get Throwback Reviews, but at Throwback Review. And we got a Facebook page as well. And I think there's somebody else here that wants to possibly give some closing words. I don't know.
Yeah, guys, listen, you combined me with the Golden Girls, and that reminded me of a song I used to sing with them, as a matter of fact. Thank you for being a friend.
Oh, no.
Hey, Rob. You remember
hey,
me?
No. Oh, I remember you from the creek.
That's right. You know, my pants are still wet.
Oh, but, I'm running now.
I remember chasing you down and yeah, your pants fell down. Did you remember this by chance when I was like, hey, and I smacked you? Do you remember that?
I thought it was a branch, but now that you say it, it did feel like a grown man's leathery hand, so it could have been.
One, two, Freddy's chasing after you.
Oh, I'm out of here. Come on, everybody.
I was chasing you down. Guys, seriously, thank you so much for making tonight's show about me. Because it meant the world to me to be such an important focus of your podcast. I've enjoyed every minute of it, and just want to say thank you. So... sleep well.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to end our show. And till next time.
Thanks for listening.
That was fun. The strap-on joke wasn't a little too dark, was it?